This is the Home Tech Podcast, show number 55, recorded on December 22nd, 2011. Merry Christmas, and I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios, a redesigned AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and posted each week with world-class show notes done none other than from Andrew out at theAverageGuy.tv. You can contact the show, podcast at theAverageGuy.tv, or track me down, follow me on Twitter. We do all the show postings, announcements, blog posts, all that good stuff on Twitter. It is just at Jay Collison. You can also find us on Facebook or iTunes by searching The Average Guy Podcast. Just put in those terms, The Average Guy Podcast. Please, if you're out on iTunes and you like the show, leave us a little comment. That helps us with our search rankings that are out there. We've set up all the links you could ever need to download the podcast automatically to your iPhone, iPod, iPad, any Android device, both tablet or phone. And I just love my Android phone, by the way. Just go out to theAverageGuy.tv. Look on the right-hand column. We've got some icons out there. If you need any help, send me an email, podcast@theAverageGuy.tv. All right, tonight we got a great show for you. Some guys, I feel like this is a little bit like a Rich's Random Podcast Generator, more than it is home tech, but we're on a Thursday night, and we've got folks live. And actually, we called Andrew, and Andrew's on his way out of town, and but we Skyped through to him on his phone, and he's going to jump in here for a few minutes. Andrew, how are you doing?
Pretty good, thanks, Jim. It's a sultry 33 degrees in Melbourne and about an 85% humidity. So looking forward to getting out of town and catching up with some family.
Yeah. Any so these are your Christmas plans?
Yeah. So we're off to my parents' place for the Christmas period. They live an hour and a half out of town. So.
Oh, not bad. You how long is the trip out there?
About an hour and a half.
Oh, that's not too bad. And what kind of tech are you taking with you for the weekend while you're gone?
I'm probably going to get in trouble for it, but I've got a touchpad, I've got a laptop, I've got another laptop, I've got two phones, and the shell's in a fairly similar boat. So
nice.
We're going to be online pretty well. We're going to have accessibility for the next few days.
Yeah, I'd say so. Do your parents have pretty good Wi-Fi there?
They got good Wi-Fi coverage, but they're on a satellite downlink, so their downlink's about half a meg, and their uplink's about 64K, so it's fairly average.
Okay, but I mean, you can get fairly decent connectivity there, and make that work, right? I mean, attach the iPad and all the other stuff.
Yeah, all the devices attach up, no worries, and our only limiting factor is our the satellite link down there.
And that would just affect your upload mostly, right?
The download can be a bit hit and miss as well.
Oh, okay. Depending on the weather or just because it's satellite?
Just because it's satellite. This time of year, we get a lot of heat shimmer. So the heat shimmer tends to bring down the performance of the link quite a lot.
Okay.
So instead of running at half a meg, it often runs at about 384K or even slower.
And then that's being shared with guests, right, at the bed and breakfast?
Although we're going to be only people in, and typically what they find is that most of their guests in the B&B don't tend to get online unless they're there for a business trip.
Okay. And they have a website, right? I mean, if folks wanted to see where you're going to be at, what's the website for your parents' bed and breakfast?
Yeah, so my parents' bed and breakfast is Bellevue Hill, and it's www.bellevuehill.com.
Bellevue Hill?
Yeah, so BELLEWHILL.com.
Nice. And I checked that out last time you and I talked about it, and I would definitely be staying there if I made the trip to Melbourne.
Well, that's right. Definitely right.
No, it's awesome. It looks great. Fun place to get away, and I assume you'll be there through the Christmas weekend and head back into town next week, or are you staying out there for
next week? We're down there for a few days, and we're back late next week.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you taking the opportunity to jump on a phone call with us. I know that you wanted to wish one 18-year-old, I think he's 18, his dad told me he was 18, but you wanted to wish one 18-year-old a happy birthday. I'll give you a chance to do that.
I did. Happy birthday, Mr. Johnson. I hope you have a lovely, you've had a great day, because I think it's almost the end of it in your part of the world, and may the next year bring you every happiness.
Yeah, it's Christian's birthday today, and actually thought we might get him on the show, and I got a text from him earlier today, and he said, my parents are pulling me out of the man cave. Cracks me up that he calls it that. he said, my parents are pulling me out of the man cave and taking me out for dinner, and both he and Gary were, so they would be indisposed. But yeah, happy birthday, Christian.
And that's how it should be on his birthday, too. Yeah. Leave the tech alone.
No, right on. Christian gives us a lot of his time and a lot of his effort, and so happy birthday, Christian. We hope it's a great birthday. And whether you're 17 or 18, it doesn't matter. We wish you a happy birthday and all the best. So, well, Andrew, have a great vacation. Any tech news that you want to add before you take off?
No, I don't think so. I think it's one of those periods of the year where if you can avoid being online, spend as much time with your family as possible. And I'm getting a look that says as if you were going to do that. But,
what'd she say?
I hope everyone heard Michelle saying she'll remember that in the background.
She's going to hold you to it.
Tell Michelle thanks that we get to have you each week. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, and if people are on the road, try and keep the shiny side pointing upwards.
Yeah, and don't text and drive.
That's right.
That's good. Well, Andrew, thanks for letting us call you. And it still amazes me that we've got this technology that, you know, I can have Rich on the East Coast, Mike in Georgia, and you in Melbourne, Australia, and we somehow make it all work. So appreciate you. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Merry Christmas.
No worries, guys. Yep, Merry Christmas, everyone, and we'll talk to you all in the new year. And thanks, everyone, for listening this year. It's been great.
Yeah, you bet. Tell Michelle bye, and have a great trip.
No worries, guys. See you later.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye, Andrew.
Bye.
God, I think that's cool.
Yeah,
that is. Isn't that great? Well, so that is Andrew Morris. Of course, Andrew is our host each and every week out here and does the show notes. I probably will have to do the show notes this weekend with him being indisposed. It'll be Christmas time, but I appreciate him joining us on the call. All right, with us tonight, you probably heard both of them, but some old faithfuls here to the Home Tech Podcast. And I'll first introduce Mike Howard. Mike is behind JPEG to RAW. You can find that at jpegtoraw.com. All things photography and nipping on the heels of one Trey Ratcliffe, I think. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm nowhere near Trey Ratcliffe.
I don't know. JPEG to RAW seems to be rocking these days.
I think the closest I am to Trey Ratcliffe is he lets me look at his photos. Yeah. By that, I mean he puts them online, and I'm one of the people who can go online and look at them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, Mike. I've been listening to your show each week, and you guys are doing real well over there at jpegtoraw.com. And a couple guests. If you're into photography and you haven't heard us talk about that at all, Mike's got a great podcast going on over there where they talk about technology and photography and a couple hosts. And you do it via video each week as well. That live link is out there at jpegtoraw.com. So, Mike, welcome, and thanks for coming out tonight.
Thank you, Jim.
And then my other buddy in crime, the guy who does Rich's Random Podcast Generator almost every weekend. We've been taking some breaks just because it's been busy, and it takes Rich forever to produce those shows.
I'm really slow at it.
No, Rich, you actually do the best job ever of editing podcasts. You make us all sound very good. And if you listen to Home Tech, you know that I do zero edits on this thing. And you really do a nice job of producing Rich's and your show. And it's always good to listen to those. And, you know, the great thing I love about that is I've made mistakes and you've corrected them. So I...
Well, I correct the ones where I'm... Especially the ones where I agree with you on your mistake. Like, you know which one I'm talking about. When said bits are big and bites are small.
Yeah.
And I just took the two words and flipped them.
I know.
I love Audacity. It's so easy to do.
Right.
Audacity is awesome.
It is. Mike, are you still using Audacity to mix most of your audio?
I do use Audacity to mix the audio, and of course, I, like you mentioned, I do produce two video feeds to go along with the audio. So I have a video large, video small. That does complicate it. So if you're paying really close attention, you'd notice that I make corrections in the audio because it's so easy with Audacity. But some of those corrections, not all those corrections, make it to the video.
Yeah, video is a lot harder, right? I mean, you almost need like Vegas or something like that to. I think that's probably the right. We use Vegas. Is that what it's called? I think it's called Vegas Video Producer or something like that at our church. And that's what they use to put the video together. And it's got some editing tools. But that's a whole different level.
It's a whole different level of pain. I was using, what is the Adobe product? Premiere Elements. Not the full Premiere, but Premiere Elements.
Right.
And I ran into a lot of trouble with it. So I switched over to PowerDirector by CyberLink. And it's fine. And one thing it does is the file it produces is too big. It doesn't have enough settings to do what I need to do. So then I have to run it through Handbrake after I produce it.
Kind of crunch it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? For Spartan Radio, I just use, of course, because I'm the editor extraordinaire. I just use Windows Live Movie Maker.
Yeah, that'll work.
And it just bring it in, and I don't bother too much. The most I do in editing is those little stupid transitions that they mm-hmm. put in there. So I'll hide if I need to cut something out or bleep somebody. I'll use that transition to get that done. And it allows me to put some title stuff in there and some credits in the back. And then I just crank that thing out, move it over to, I guess we put it up on live stream and it creates a link. And then I just put the embedded code out at radracing.org for folks to be able to watch the show, Spartan Radio. I'll be honest, the video for Home Tech is not all that exciting. And so I just go audio only at this point. You guys show a lot of pictures in what you do. And so video is really key for you guys, right?
It is. I think, for what we're talking about, video is very important. We don't always show photos every show, but most of the shows we do, where we're talking about photos or showing the whoever we have as a guest will show their work. And, that if you're listening to just the audio, you don't get the full experience because you don't get to see what we're talking about.
Yeah, very important in for visualization for you. So now you've got a Facebook group as well, right? Same thing, JPEG to RAW.
We do, yeah. A Facebook group and a Facebook page. The group, is where we have group discussions and everything. And that thing's been growing pretty good. The page is doing well too. We're holding the contest right now.
Oh, good. Yeah, pimp it.
One of our guests, Rachel Brinke, who's been on the show twice, is giving away one of her workshops. Deadline to enter is this Sunday, Christmas Day.
Oh, so I'll have to get this podcast out in a hurry.
And that contest has done really good for us. It's got us a number of new listeners. It's doubled the number of people in our group and got us quite a few likes on Facebook.
Nice.
So we're really getting a lot of success from the Facebook side of things. When I go out, when I start a show, I don't know about you, when I start a live show, post it on Facebook, post it on Google+, and how you showed me, you can watch the live stuff on using Google Analytics. I can watch it, and I will get a lot of traffic coming from Facebook and no traffic coming from Google+.
Interesting.
Google+ is starting to become disappointing to me.
But it's known for photographers. I mean, if there's two groups of people that Google+ is known for, it's technology people and photographers.
Well, what I do like about it is looking at like Trey Radcliffe's photos.
Yeah, right.
Looking at photos like that. So from that standpoint, it's pretty good. I think both of these platforms still have a place. One's not going to replace the other.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I'll remind folks
Tim Black just asked to join JPEG to RAW.
Oh, there you go. Very nice.
He must be out there in chat.
He must be listening there. And there you go. Yeah. Just join the Facebook group. I'll remind folks as well, we do, if you search for Average Guy Podcast on Facebook, we also have a very similar Facebook page out there where we post anytime Rich's random podcast comes out, or we do home tech or fitness tech, which I haven't done one in a while, or financial tech, which is a brand new one of those. Came out this week, Mike, if you haven't listened to that yet. Andrew does a nice job on that one. And that's Andrew Hunt as opposed to Andrew Morris. They can head out there to theaverageguy.tv and have a listen to those. Well, speaking of Facebook, Facebook is more popular and growing faster than Google search. It was for a lot of years. Google kind of dominated the search space, or actually these statistics are page hits overall. And for a lot of years, Google search, that front page on Google was number one. And last year, Facebook passed it, and it's maintained that position for this year. It says Facebook.com made a 10.29% It made up 10.29% of all web visits between January and November of 2011. That's an increase of 15% last year. Google.com made up 7.70% of all visits, up just 7% from last year. They do say, but it seems like YouTube is saving their bacon at this point, which is kind of, that's probably not the way to say it. Those, they're both do so much traffic. It's kind of ridiculous. Overall, Google properties made up 11.29% of all visits versus 8.9% for Facebook. So if you add all the Google properties in, Google jumps ahead. But certainly Facebook, Mike, we were just talking about that. Facebook is a contender out there for 10% of all traffic on the web is Facebook.
And what would be interesting is going beyond those stats and how sticky. You know, I think when people go on Facebook, they spend more time there. Now, YouTube, they probably spend quite a bit of time there too.
Oh, my kids are addicted to YouTube.
But I think Google, when you go on Google, you search for what you want to search and you get out.
Yeah.
You know, people go on Facebook and they spend a lot of time there. Yeah. You know, like even our little chat, which is still small, it doesn't have a lot of members. But, you know, that thing can get going sometimes. And for hours, you just have conversations going on. It's
right,
crazy.
Right. Yeah, if you wait, it'll just automatically show up for you, and or my phone will buzz every time I get a, you know, every time I get a Facebook conversation. One of the things that surprised me is it said the big loser of the year was MySpace. I'm like, really? Isn't that like the big loser of the last 3 years?
Yeah.
But obviously, MySpace was still having some traction because this is the first year they dropped out of the top 10. So last year, believe it or not, MySpace was still in the top 10 for traffic. And so talk about some stickiness. We would have all, no way we would have said 2010 MySpace was even there, but it was.
Yeah.
It's dropping and dropping fast, much like AOL properties, which, you know, 15 years ago, AOL ruled, was it 15 or 20? Let's see, 1995, let's say between 1995 and 2000. So 15 or so years ago, AOL ran the internet. And today they are zero. I mean, isn't that amazing how fast that changes?
Yeah, it just shows you got to keep innovating or you'll be left behind.
Yeah, did you think, either of you guys, Mike, what was your first introduction to the internet? How did you come into the internet for the very first time?
Oh, I was in it back when, before the web. I was when all we had was FTP and I think something called Finger and, you know, there was no...
But what was the first time you made it to the internet? Do you remember that? Do you remember?
That's the internet.
Well, but I know. But I mean, and actually through a web browser, right?
I had a service through, I don't remember even the name of the company now, but it wasn't AOL. It was somebody else. And it was before they had a graphical web page. It was all text. And I remember going to MIT or somebody like that's web page where you could see how many Cokes were in their Coke machine.
Ouch.
And it was all in text. It was not, I was using Netscape and it was all in text. It was not, you know, graphics because my browser, that web provider, that internet service provider did not have a graphic interface. And I thought that was cool to be able to go on and see how many Cokes were in that machine and that kind of stuff. And, you know, if somebody got one out, you could see, oh, look, there's one less.
What a great use for the internet.
Boy, it's come a long way, hasn't it, Mike?
Yeah. And then I remember I went on to the bulletin boards. You know, back then they had bulletin boards.
Right.
And I downloaded this beta of a program called Doom.
Oh,
you guys probably know what Doom is.
Yeah.
I downloaded Doom and started playing that and said, oh my God, look, there's multiplayer. So my friend and I were calling each other through the modem, playing a cooperative play on Doom, and thought that was just, it can't get any better than this. This is the best ever.
Yeah. Well, my first experience was a local hometown ISP. It was dial-up, and I never saw AOL. I didn't, I would get the discs in the mail,
sure.
You know, to come join our little walled garden, and I just, you know, toss them out, you know. What I remember is my first introduction, I got into computers in 95. And what I remember is that you could download this, I'm going to forget what the name, this app called New World Scanner. I've mentioned this before. App called New World Scanner, and you could just set an IP range and see who is sharing their C drive, and then you could connect.
Oh, wow.
So I did one time just to see. I knew I was doing wrong, but I just had to do it just because you know, like
you have
guys that, yeah, because you want to see, is this really, really true? You know, and I got in there looking around. I go, okay, I've got to get out of here now. But
yeah,
yeah, fun days, huh?
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember distinctly I was a CompuServe user, and you know, had one of those crazy CompuServe email addresses that were all numbers, you know, so it was like 867.something.something.something@CompuServe.com. Those were the very first email addresses that CompuServe
had. Yeah. What that is.
Yeah. You don't know what CompuServe was? So that,
well, I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard of it too.
So
yeah,
what
yeah.
year is this? What year is this?
94, maybe 94, 95, I think.
Okay.
You know, it's funny, Jim. It's the email address I got with my first web provider that gave you graphics was with Mindspring back in 93, 94. That's still my email address.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're still in business doing stuff and the webmail's still up and still working, huh?
Here's what happened is they got bought by Earthlink,
right?
So Mindspring went away, but they kept the Mindspring address. I have now left Earthlink and I'm with, you know, a cable provider.
Sure.
But my wife and I have used those email addresses for so long that I pay, $50 a year for us to keep those email addresses.
Some forwarding of your email. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was through CompuServe, and I remember I loaded some software and they're like, you can go to the internet, right? And it was you could click through on there. It was a Netscape browser at the time and you could click through it and go to the internet. And there wasn't a lot out there. There were some things going on, but I did sign up. That allowed me to go to Yahoo, which was just a brand new company at the time that was offering email, free email. And so I went to Yahoo, signed up for Jay Collison at yahoo.com. My brother still hates me. His name's John. And he swears I steal Jay Collison everywhere I go. And I do. I'm the first to get it. I'm way out ahead of him. But yeah, so I've had that. I think that would have been 1996, maybe I picked that up and I've had that email, and that's the one I still use too. It works. I've had a bunch of other ones, you know, CompuServe's gone by the way, and a bunch of other different company ones that have all gone along the way, but I still got that one. And I just get a ton of spam. It's the worst email for that.
Well, we've got to be kind of in the minority there that we have you have an address that goes back to 95 or whatever. I have one going back to 93, 94. I mean, that's a long time to keep the same email address.
It is.
Now, you know, one thing that Earthlink has done pretty well is nothing passes through their spam filter until I okay it. So if you were to send me an email address that I've never – send me an email from an address that I've never received something from before, it would sit in my suspicious folder. And until I clear it, it won't come to me. Once I clear it, then everything in the future from that address comes through. But because of that, I get zero spam to my actual computer.
Oh. All right. Well, that's Yahoo filters has a pretty good filter, so I don't see a lot of spam either for the most part. But it's all in the spam filter. If I ever look at that, I go, good God.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. If you ever look at the boatload.
It's just Rich. Have you had your email very long? Or
I have. I have one from my ISP, current ISP, and it's. An ISP called GWI, Great Works Internet. I probably had it about maybe 10 years or so. Okay.
So, a while.
So I've got a couple of them there. Yep.
Yeah.
And then I got a Gmail.
Yeah. And that, right. That is, you know, the one I'm thinking. I don't think Yahoo's going anywhere. Eventually they'll get bought by somebody. And actually my Yahoo account also, I quit Gmail, which maybe listeners don't know you can do. I just closed my Gmail account one day. I was like, I got to get less accounts. And this was a couple years ago before Google, you know, before Gmail really became the thing, maybe like 5 years ago. And so I just quit one day. I'm like, I'm closing the account. So I closed it down. They said, hey, do you want an email address, right, to delete? Can we get an email address from you? And so I put in my Yahoo one. And that became my Gmail. So a couple weeks later, I realized the error of my ways, and I went back to sign in. And they're like, well, you can use your Yahoo account now to sign in. So I now can log into Gmail with my Yahoo account. It's kind of interesting that way. And now I've just told everybody in the world that, and they can hack my, or they can figure that out anyways. But it's weird to log into, I can log into Google with my Yahoo account.
So you don't use like Outlook to manage your email?
No, I do all web-based. Everything's web-based. I mean, I use Outlook at work. But all my personal email is done all web-based. I used to use Outlook and had so many problems with it. I just really wanted to switch over to a completely web-based service that I didn't have to screw with.
Yeah, Outlook can be a resource hog. I've seen that. But, I have, I don't know how many different email accounts, but Outlook goes and gets all of them.
Yeah. No, I don't want to mess with it. Rich, what do you do for email? How do you manage
email? How do I manage it? I just use Gmail.
Okay.
Yep. I was using Outlook and I just got tired of fiddling with it. And I says, look, I can just hit an icon on my desktop, or I can just bring up my browser and go to it. So I was going to say, you guys were talking about something there. Forget it. I'll get back
Outlook.
To it. I'll think of it.
I'm a big advocate of abandoning Outlook for personal email in a lot of ways, just because it's just a maintenance nightmare. I just rather leave all that email right on the web server, not mess with it, not try and bring it into my desktop, not trying to, I do now. I forward a lot of my email through my one Gmail account. So I have my Yahoo and I have my one Gmail. Everything comes into that. Go ahead, Rich.
I was going to say that Windows Live, you can use your whatever account to log into that and create a live account with that.
Yeah. Although Live's messy. Live email is messy, don't you think?
I don't know.
I never liked that interface.
You didn't like it?
Yeah. I didn't. But I don't know. Maybe it is.
Well, you know what? I forward it all. Well, I've got Hotmail accounts too. I've got my GWI, I've got Hotmail, and I got a Gmail. I don't know why I need all these accounts, but I use them for different places. If I don't want to, I use my GWI accounts when I really don't, want to deal with whatever may come my way. Like you got to give an email address. Okay, I'll give you this one.
Right. Mike, did you open a JPEG to RAW? So do you have a podcast at jpegtoraw.com like that?
Yeah, at first I started one up that is Nav Studio, and nobody could spell that, and I couldn't say it in a way where you could spell it right.
I know. It made sense when you told me.
It was Studios with an S.
Right.
So, yeah, I have that one, which I still receive some email through that, but I did set up a JPEG to RAW a podcast at jpegtoraw.com.
Yeah. And so do you use Google to manage that domain from an email standpoint?
Yeah, this may be a common theme in what I do, but I have Gmail does get it, but I also get it through Outlook.
Sure. No, I'm not saying, the Outlook philosophy works. It just was not the way I prefer to do it, just because of the overhead that it brings at the local level.
I like having it on the website where I can, and no matter where I'm at, I can get into it and look at the email. What I haven't become used to is the format. So when you hit reply and it's just the way it looks when you hit reply and go to type. It doesn't look as neat. Outlook to me, maybe that's just because I'm used to using it, looks so nice and neat. You got your text below it, a nice, neat format and all that. And it just is much cleaner looking.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. It is a nice way to manage it. There is a tool, though, Windows Live Mail, that is a little skinnier, so to speak, than Outlook. Doesn't have as many features, but you're probably not going to use all the features of Outlook anyways, that is client-based, that looks and acts like Outlook. So that's another, for folks who are interested in using something like that, that works as well.
And it's a good topic for me right now, because I'm in the process of the machine I'm on right now, talking on right now, is an older machine that I'm looking to move onto my new machine. I had bought all the new gear to create the new machine, and it's been sitting over there for over a month because I just can't get to it. But as I start moving programs and all over there, because I like to make sure it is 100% running with everything I need before I shut this one down and move those guts into this box and then strip this one for parts, the thought is, what do I do with all that email? Because I have a lot of email in Outlook. And I can export it and import it over there and do all that kind of stuff. But it's got me thinking, is this a good opportunity now for me to just move everything over to Google?
Yeah. Or have an email amnesty day and just delete it all.
Just do it.
Never do that.
declare email bankruptcy. And
some of those emails have like codes for your registration codes. No,
I didn't like the PST. I mean, I don't like the fact that Outlook builds this database, so to speak, on your client PC, and it's that database isn't accessible anywhere except on that PC. And so I've always worked trying hard to build that into the web clients and make that work from a web standpoint. It's not as robust for sure,
but it's a good it's a good time for me to be thinking about a lot of things here with with as I go to rebuild this, you know, because I got the SSD, I've got my data drive is 2 Caviar Blacks and RAID 0 because I want speed. And, you know, it's a good time for me to be thinking about the placement.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Well, it's time for an ad. I want to let you know that today's show is sponsored by Yeti Blue Microphone. And if you haven't first...
Don't even bother.
Tim brought that up, and I was going to say that earlier in the show, and I just kind of forgot. But this is kind of the Yeti fanboy podcast tonight, with all three of us having the Yeti mic. But
and it's fitting because we were bad influences on each other.
We were. Yeah, this summer. Right? This summer, late in the summer, we all kind of got together. And
did we all buy the same arm, too?
I think we did, right?
Yeah. At the time, I was thinking that this would be this year's Christmas present. But, you know, as it works out, it wasn't, and I still get a Christmas present.
Christmas came early.
That's good. That's a good thing. It's all good. So, yeah, it's been a great mic. I did... When I call my family on Skype and I pull the mic over, they kind of go, "What are you doing?
What is that huge thing?"
And I'm like, "Is that a radio mic?" And I go, "Yeah, actually it is." And I've been looking for a styrofoam windscreen to cover this. I would like to get different colored windscreens on there. Yeah, it's too small though. Does it fit?
No, well, it fits if I really stretch it and work on it and try and get it on there. But you're right. You know, here's one thing. This is no good. I got to get something else. If we do, three of us get these, we should get different colors at least.
Yes, we should, because they're calling us lemmings. They're calling us lemmings in chat right now.
We could just stick them on our nose like a clown nose, right? So that's what Jim says.
Well, speaking of buying things, Rich, you went out and bought a Roku.
Did I? Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
You know what? I bought the Roku XS2. And I bought this thing because mainly all I want to do is stream Netflix and my movies from my server. And either I can stream it from my server, which is a little bit tricky with Roku. I've got this one app I'm looking at to see if I can get it set up. It's supposed to be DLNA compliant. I haven't got it to work yet. Or you can stream your movies from your USB device. Now, problem there is that I had to go out and buy, what is it, Arcsoft Media Converter 7.5 that Mike Fauché was talking about a week or so ago, because I needed to convert all of my DVD rips to MP4 so I could play them.
And you rip them in VOB? Is that in a VOB file? Is that how you're doing it now?
Yeah, VOB files, yeah. When I rip them, yeah, DVDs.
So are you saying a Roku could play movies off of your server?
There's I'll tell you the name of I call it an app. They call everything on here channels, but I think this is an app. It's called Roxbox, Roksbox. And it's one app that's available that, with a little bit of setup. And actually what I need to do, it's supposed to be able to stream from your server.
That's been one device I've looked at quite a bit. It's a nice device. The Roku, the boxes are really nice.
Hey, man, it's the size of a hockey puck. It takes up no room. It makes no noise, which is one reason I was looking to replace that little HTPC. It was driving me crazy with the noise of that little fan. But you were looking at one?
Yeah.
You should definitely think about it.
The thing holding me back always has been the fact that it can't play local media. Yeah, I thought I've always read that they could not play local media.
Well, This is an app that I've got to look at. I've got to see if I can get it to work. I didn't really do it justice. I just tried to fiddle through, fudge through it. But they actually say while you're setting it up, it says you should read, our instructions on our website so you know what you're doing.
And how's the video quality? It will do HD or Blu-ray?
What will it do? Yeah, I think it's 1080p. Yeah, it's 1080p. Okay. So HDMI out, and then it also has like a composite, I think, or something like that, which nobody's probably going to use. It's got wireless in, and it's got gigabit Ethernet. So
okay, and so it won't play VOBs natively. You've got to rip those into MP4.
Yeah, you got it, yeah.
So, or convert them in this case. So you've ripped your VOBs. You store in the VOB, just so for folks who don't know, everybody does know, VOB is just the native format as it exists on the DVD, right?
Right.
So yeah. you're just copying those files over and they sit there. So the Roku won't see those natively and play them. You've got to rip them. You got to use a converter, rip them to MP4, put them somewhere where the Roku can see it, and then it'll pick it up and play it.
Yeah, I don't mind so much putting it on my USB device, but ultimately, yeah, it would be nice if I could just point to a network share and just forget that USB device, because I don't need one more thing sitting on my bureau.
Right,
you know, I really like having that little, even though that Revo, it was a Revo 3610, even though it's a small unit, you know, I had wires coming to it, it was standing up, you know, I had a keyboard up there in case that something went wrong, you know, I had to get up there and fiddle around with it with a keyboard. It's all gone now. The desktop is cleared off. You know, my bureau top is cleared off.
How's the menu system?
Not bad. It looks better than I took back. It's passable for me. And what I'm going to tell you is that I took back the HD WD TV Live Plus because I thought
the menu system
was so ugly. It's very not pretty.
You guys don't like it, huh?
No, you know, I have it too, and the Western Digital Live TV Plus, whatever it is, and I'm looking for that solution that's around $100, $150 that could play Netflix, Pandora, whatever else, and local RIP stuff. And I thought that might be the thing, and I just hate the interface.
Yeah, we have a couple of those. We bought a couple of those for our church and use them as kiosk, right? They replaced PC because they'll play MP4. And that if we have a little video that we want to show in the kiosk or a PowerPoint presentation, they'll just rip that to an MP4. And it plays it beautifully. But you're right, that menu system, we've taught the folks who set up those kiosks, go 15794, right? Just memorize that path because that's what you're going to need to know. And it works well for them in that setting. But I imagine day in, day out, that that'd be a little rough.
Yeah, I think, actually our company has used one too for that same purpose, is to play pre-recorded stuff that I think maybe they just took a USB in, if I'm not mistaken, a USB thumb drive with the video.
Right. And that part works great. We have a big screen TV, and they mounted the device up on top of it where you can't get to it. And so then somebody just bought a USB extension that just drops down behind the TV, and it just sits right behind the TV. You can't even see it. And so all you got to do is you look behind the TV, grab it, plug your USB port in, and it picks it right up.
It's
a great little system.
Hey, EVPC says in the live stream, he says that WD Live plays ISOs just fine. So that would be okay. I mean, I could run a convert and reconvert my folders, my folder rips to an ISO. I could do that. But the thing is that I'm not married to this thing yet, because where did I buy it? Best Buy.
Oh,
right?
No. I thought you were going to say Walmart.
So here, give us $99 and you can try it for 30 days, right? Yeah. That's what it costs. So
I did. Yeah. Our local Walmart was selling those for $79. Well, maybe not this version, the cheaper version of the Roku. I think it was $69 or $79. So you can even pick those Roku.
Well, I can play Angry Birds on this thing.
Yeah, okay.
Jeez. Not that I want to do it, but I just thought it was pretty darn funny I could do that. Now, what is the WD? I'm sorry, but what is the WD TV Live looking like now? Because when I tried it, I thought the interface was pretty ugly. I didn't like it. I just really didn't like it. And I tried it about maybe 6 or 7 or 8 months ago, maybe 3/4 of a year ago. So anybody out in the chat? Yeah.
It looks like other Jim just picked one up. I still have mine. I just haven't done an update on it. So I don't know, and I haven't used it in a while, so I don't know if the menu's gotten better. And they're saying, the UI is pretty bare bones. And like EasyPC said, it will play those ISOs. It's played most of the stuff I've put to it. I haven't had a problem with that. It's more just the interface was not something I was interested in. And it was an interface that, I'm looking for an interface that my wife can easily use too.
You know,
well, I'm looking for simplicity on this. So if I can get, you know, I may try it again. You know, we actually got a TV, you know, we got another TV out in the living room. I need another streaming device out there. Maybe I will buy. I thought maybe about buying the Apple TV because what I hear is hands down the Apple TV UI is the prettiest looking one. But, you know, functionality has got to be there too. So I might try the WDTV Live again.
Yeah, well, we use a lot. And of course, it won't, I don't think it does local stuff, so it doesn't solve that thing. Is the Xbox, you know, the 360.
I mean, no, it will connect to your local. I mean, if you have a Media Center PC and you've got your files set up, it will connect to those. It'll play your music and videos.
But I don't want to keep a Media Center PC running. I don't want to do that. Right. I want to just stream it from my server.
You know what I do, Rich? I have a media in my Hyper-V server. I have a virtual Windows 7 running for the sole purpose of being a Windows Media Center feed to my Xbox 360s.
Well, you're a little more organized than I am.
That's a good way to do it, Mike. I think that's where I'm headed.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, it is a box that has some, you know, virtual Windows 7 stuff running just for that kind of, you know, the other option and something I've been looking at. It seems like every year about this time I look at these guys and I see them at CES when I'm out there is PlayOn. I don't know if either of you guys heard of that.
Yeah, so, well, that virtual machine I just talked about also does PlayOn.
Yeah, runs PlayOn, and they continue to expand the number of networks that they have available. One of the reasons I won't kill my cable is because we do watch some WGN, we do watch some TBS, and we do watch some TLC, and those have been three channels that have not come on other offerings that are out there, especially TLC. That's the one we, you know, you watch Cake Boss and some of those other ones, although Buddy just drives me absolutely nuts and I'd stab the guy if I saw him in person. But I'm sorry, that's probably a little strong. But TBS is now available on PlayOn. And so that's one, you know, I keep looking at that. I keep thinking, yeah, cause with digital cable or digital over the air HD, and those are the only three real channels we get that are cable related that we do watch stuff off of. I think if I could get access to those three, I just kill cable. Although it's only $20 a month, I buy that super cheap. Only, you know, you get the basic access stuff, and it's $20 a month. So it's hardly. I know people who pay hundreds of dollars a month for their cable. Right.
We need to get Rich to have a virtual server at his house.
Yeah,
Rich needs to get one, but as soon as Rich is, I've got a drive that's killing me over here in my MediaSmart server. I'm trying to take it now. I'm trying to remove it from the server now, but it keeps hanging because it's got a bad sector. I'm returning it. And then I've got other problems here, and then, you know. So,
we'll work on it. Rich, is that your Western Digital ears drive that's going bad on the home server?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. It's an ears drive, but fortunately, it's covered by the warranty. So I'll just slap it in the mail, and I decided not to do cross shipping. I decided to just ship it out to them and let them ship me one when they get it. So
let me ask you a question about that, Rich. This is a Western Digital, you said?
Yeah.
So do you have to put a receipt in the thing with it?
No, you know, they're going to look at, you tell them when you bought it, and I really couldn't remember when I bought it, but they're going to look at the manufacture date. And if the manufacture date, you know, is anywhere within that 3 years or 5 years, and I'm not sure which one this has for a warranty, but I know it's not 3 years. I know it's not 3 years old. Then they'll just honor it. You know, they'll just look and see a bad sector.
Well, I need to do that because I have a 1.5 terabyte drive that lasted maybe a week. Oh. And it was in my Unraid server, and all of a sudden I started getting all these issues. Of course, Unraid dealt with it really easily.
Yeah, very easy. They're very, very easy. You go on the website, you say bad sectors. Okay, here's your RMA number. How do you want to do it? You want to?
Well, yeah, it'll ask for the serial number.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah, we were just talking about this on the home server show last night, and I had RMA'd a Western Digital drive. They have by far the best. That I've experienced, the best RMA process known to man. I mean, it's so efficient. You can even $4.99. They'll express ship you a box out and with the new drive in it, and then you just swap them, and it comes with the mailing label to ship it back. So one of two options. One, you can wait Let's see. No, how does that work? You can send it in first. So you pay shipping either way. And then they'll replace it and they'll send it back to you. Or you can request this express. They'll send it to you with a mailing label in it. That's what I did. $5. They send you the replacement drive. You swap them out, put the old one in the box, slap a label, call FedEx. They pick it up. You're done. You don't even have to leave your house.
I'm doing that tomorrow.
Yeah. It's like we were talking about that in the context of the hard drive manufacturers really consolidating, right? I mean, Seagate just completed their acquisition of Samsung, and so they're gone. You know, Maxtor's gone a long time ago. Western Digital has bought, is looking at Hitachi. I don't know, or that acquisition's already gone through. There's really only a handful of hard drive manufacturers left in the world, and that makes me kind of worried because we get down to one.
I think you need at least three.
Exactly.
It seems like three is three is like the minimum number you need.
Yeah. Well, push too few. It's too few as well, because then they start looking at each other. It's too easy to, you need almost five, because one of them will be rogue, right? One of them will do the stupid things and slash prices when everybody else is not doing it, and that'll keep the prices in check.
Yeah.
That hard drive area, and of course with home server stuff, and you guys are all part of that community as well. We talk, a lot of what we do is we talk about those hard drives. That's what stores all that stuff for us. So, give that a shot tomorrow, Mike, for sure, and get that going. Of course, with the holidays, I'm sure that'll be a little bit delayed.
That's fine. Yeah.
Rich, anything else on your Roku? Any other thoughts?
I like to see YouTube come to the Roku, but I don't know if that's happening yet.
Really? I would thought that would have been an app that would have been one of the first ones.
Yeah, it's not there. I don't know why, but it's not on there. And, it has Facebook. I actually haven't spent enough time with it because I've been dealing with this server thing. But, you can connect to Google Plus, so you can look at your photos on there. You can, and whatever else, I guess, music. And you can hook up to your Facebook account, and you can hook up to Twitter. But I haven't done any of these things yet. I'm sure they work just fine. But I really would like to see YouTube come in, because every once in a while, I don't use it a lot, but every once in a while, you get on a little jag where it's like, oh, now what's that other video related to that? And you want to check them out. So it'd be nice.
Yeah. I have to admit, we bought this big screen TV, and I bet I've watched not many hours of TV on that thing.
I thought you were going to say YouTube.
Oh, no. No, we definitely never watched it. It's got some apps. It's a Samsung, and it's got some apps. It's connected. It's internet connected, and it's got some things it can do. But I've got this big monitor on my desk, and I got a TV that sits right over here, and I don't head into the TV room very often to watch TV. So I get a little desensitized. That's probably not the right word. I am not as concerned about all that stuff that's going on with the TV. I do listen to the family and what they want. And so we're kind of in between technologies. The Xbox burned out. So I have a home theater PC out there right now that I really would like to pull back in and get something simpler out there. So this Roku discussion is kind of interesting, but I don't know if they tolerate the UI that's associated with that. Plus,
the Roku is fine.
Yeah, it doesn't play videos, though, right? I mean, it doesn't have a video player in it, right?
Well, it doesn't have a video player, but I mean, if you're in the right format.
Yeah, but my wife brings DVDs home from the video store, right? So I still have to have. I still want a device that I can put a
video player.
Yeah,
Xbox.
Yeah, Xbox would be nice. You know what would be great for me right now is that the freaking Wii would do that. I mean, how retarded is it that Nintendo didn't put a DVD encoder in the Wii? That's all it needs. It could absolutely handle it, and I don't know why. It must have been a price thing. It must have been a licensing thing. It must have been because that would be the coolest little DVD player known to man. And we doesn't get any use today. We don't play Wii games anymore. It'd be a great DVD player.
You don't either. And somebody just said PS3 is another choice for that. But it makes me think about the next Xbox and whether what they're going to do, because if they want obviously putting a DVD player in there is not good enough anymore. If you're going to put a player, you're going to have to put Blu-ray or something like that, and that means of course Sony. So yeah, I wonder what Microsoft is going to do with the next Xbox 720 or whatever they're going to call it.
They're not going to call it that.
Yeah, but for my family at least, we almost never use DVDs anymore. We rent our movies through Zune and watch them streaming.
Yeah, we went the other way. When Netflix did its pricing change, we were one of the five people on the planet who canceled streaming and went to DVDs. And that was my wife's call. And it has been, we're fine with it. Nobody's complaining. Then we go to Redbox, or we'll go down to the family video store. We've, Blockbuster closed because they couldn't make it. Or not Blockbuster. Hollywood Video closed in our area.
Blockbuster too.
And our Blockbusters are starting to shut down. But somehow this family video can make it, right? I don't know if they're doing them cheaper or the labor's cheaper. I don't know. I don't get it. But all these family videos popped up, and so we rent those for a buck or whatever. But yeah, there's a stack of DVDs on the stairs going up upstairs, waiting to be watched. So we've gone backwards, and the family is fine with that.
Well, it really depends on what you want to do, because I mean, every once in a while I'll get into a series.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, really?
Your Netflix DVD, you need to send it in?
Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
Well, you're wasting your Netflix account, man.
Oh, look at that. It's Avatar.
Avatar?
Rich, what were you going to say?
It really depends on what you're into. Like, every once in a while, I'll get into a series. Well, I can't see, doing the DVD on the series, especially, if it's, 23 episodes and they're all... whatever. I just can't see doing a DVD, because if I want to have a marathon, movie weekend, watching a series or something like that, where I maybe watch a series for 4 or 5 hours in a row, knock off maybe a couple of seasons of 24 or whatever, just an example.
The thing is, and somebody says you can't do Star Wars through Netflix. The Netflix streaming is still not a lot of good, at least current content. As far as movies go, and there's really no one place you can go to get all this. Even the Xbox does have a lot of, on Zune, has a lot of new releases. You can get new releases, 1080p, 5.1 per surround sound. Once it comes out on DVD, you can pretty much get it right away on Xbox, but still everything isn't available there. And you can, if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can get some stuff there. It'd be nice, and maybe this is eventually what's going to happen, is if there was a way, with one service, you can get everything.
I'd
pay for it. You could pay for it.
That'll never happen. But I understand. I mean, it's it would be nice for the consumer, but everybody needs to make a buck somehow.
That's right, because you got all these different producers who are not going to, not all going to line up behind one Netflix or Amazon or whoever it is.
Right.
And even Apple will not be able to bring them all together.
No, they can try. Although as much as Apple was successful with the music industry,
is that like one ring to bind them? And then
kind of said that like Lord of the Rings. And
Steve Jobs. One Apple Corporation Star-on, to rule them all.
Watching from wherever he is. Apple is, heaven
is Mordor. Much success Mordor. As Apple has had with music, they have. I don't think they've had that kind of success in the video.
I think it's going to be much more difficult on the video side.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. It's interesting, Rich. I've gone back and forth on. I've thought about Roku. I've thought about an Apple TV. I've thought about one of the Apple things. I've thought about. How do I make my? They were telling me in the chat, go ahead and hack the Wii to make it work. I don't know. I guess maybe there's a hack out there where I could set it to play DVDs. PlayOn actually goes through the Wii. And so I might test that out this week. I haven't done PlayOn in a year, maybe a year and a half. I may give it another try and see what that service looks like. Although they still don't, it still doesn't support DVD. So if we're going to continue to rent movies, I've got to have some kind of DVD player around. And I know those are cheap, but I'd still like to have it all in one device. So I've got a little bit of work to do over this Christmas holiday.
If you're not going to use that Wii, you should just go ahead and hack it anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're not going to use it. Yeah, you're never going to use it. It sounds like you're like everybody else that bought a Wii. You played with it. You thought it was great for however long that was, and then you put it aside, and it's probably collecting dust somewhere.
It, maybe well, it's sitting right next to the TV collecting dust.
Yeah. Yeah, ours does too. Ours collects dust, but the time it does get used is when you have family and friends over that maybe don't have one of their own.
Yeah,
and it's just hilarious to watch each other, you know, act that crazy playing tennis or something. It's fun to watch. So I wouldn't destroy it. But the other thing Jim needs to do over the Christmas holidays is something Vinyl Freak brought up, not in this context, but I'm going to use it anyway, is become an Amazon Prime member.
Yeah, it's still not there. It's on its way at some point, and we're buying enough stuff from Amazon. I don't know why I won't pull the trigger on that.
What we should do is do a live screen sharing and watch you do it.
This is how Yeti mics get bought, right?
I'm not going to make you do that. I'm not going to push you on that.
No, but you know, today in the last financial tech podcast that Andrew and I did early in the week, Andrew Hunt is the guest host over there. We talked about that. He runs the GuideRock Capital, which is an investment arm of the Gallup Federal Credit Union, and they just bought three Amazon Kindle Fires. With the sole intent of using those as display or reporting devices. So when customers come in, Andrew produces all this stack of reports, right? You know how your 401k statement comes in. Mm-hmm. 7 pages of it are disclosures. Maybe 17 pages of it are disclosures, thanks to our legal system here in the United States. And then there's probably another 20 pages of charts and graphs and blah, blah, blah. And he prints these out in color. And then most of the customers, you know, most customers don't keep that stuff. They look at it, oh, this is great, and then it gets tossed, right? And that's a waste. So his idea is, okay, when you're in the office, you can access what they'll do is they'll download a PDF, put it on the Fire, and then he'll have the Fire on his PDF, and they'll go through it together. And he's bought three, one for him and one for each customer, a couple, if that's the case. And they'll go through it together, and they'll do it on the Fire. And the reason he went with the Fire as opposed to an iPad is strictly cost, right? Those Fires are $199. They're Wi-Fi connected. They're not going to leave the credit union. We have great Wi-Fi there at Gallup Federal Credit Union, and it works perfect for that kind of scenario. And so he says, you know, in a year or two, these will save. Not only will it give the appearance of the investment firm being more progressive and technology savvy and stuff, and a cool factor, it'll save. I mean, with all the disclosures that and stuff that he has to print, it'll save. I think he'll make his money back pretty quickly on those Fires. So, a very cool alternative way to think about. I mean, we think about the Fire as a, as a consumer electronics, you know, device.
Have you tried one yet? Have you tried
a Fire? Yeah. So they came in yesterday. And
tell me what you thought. Tell me what you thought.
Yeah. And
you know, I got something to say about it.
We talked about this on Rich's show Sunday. And I debated, you know, what I was going to do. Well, tomorrow I'm taking off and I'm going to go to Best Buy and look at one of them. So I'm very interested in both of y'all's opinion.
Well, I didn't mess with it long enough. I'll be honest. I did not mess with it long enough to have an opinion formed, but the form factor is nice. I did bring up a PDF. He set up, you know, he directed me to the site. I did walk him through how to connect to the Wi-Fi network at Gallup easier and some strategies for making that fairly seamless, because he's got to log that device into our public network and use a username and password to get those to connect. That part's fairly simple. Rich, my impression was it's not any different than my Android phone, to be honest. I mean, it's a bigger
Android tablet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 7-inch Android tablet. And
beautiful looking.
It's
right?
Very good looking. The color is good. The feel is good. It feels good in your hands. It's a nice size tablet. From that perspective, I that's about the extent I did, you know, the back button, like on Android, doesn't mean back on the page. It means back out of the application. And so, you know, if you have pages of things open, you need to remember to swipe the page, not push the back button.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you'll learn that again.
It seems zippy enough for me. I mean, I know they've gotten complaints because they're slow. I worked on them for maybe 10 minutes. I was just in there on my way to the board meeting, and I said, oh, hey, the Kindles came in. He's like, yeah, I got one out, you know. And the thing he was most impressed by is when he opened it up, it said, welcome to Amazon, Andrew. And, you know, it was brand new, right? And they have coded
these. Because he bought it from Amazon.
Right, right. Yeah, these things are coded out of the factory to have your Kindle or have your Amazon account information in it.
I was looking at web pages on the thing.
You know, I looked at the Gallup.com page because that's what it automatically logs into on our public network. When you go there, we redirect you to Gallup.com as the landing page if you're internal. And it looked fine. Now, again, Mike, I didn't spend a lot of time working on it, so my opinion doesn't matter much. But it looked okay to me. It looked like a bigger version of my, you know, my Samsung Galaxy is a 4.5-inch. Not so. This is 7 inches, a little bit larger, a lot larger. Looked just as good. So,
okay, Rich, what's your opinion?
I liked it. I thought it was really good looking. I didn't think it was too slow. I thought it was okay. I was almost ready to buy it, but when you're flipping through the icons. You try to hit, okay, here comes your icon. Oh, there it goes. Well, you take your finger off and it flips and it goes flying off. You know, it doesn't understand. Look, it doesn't have the screen sensitivity. I typed it in. I thought it was needs to be tweaked. It needs either to let the user adjust it or they just need to dampen it. You know, so when you're flipping through those icons, you know, it doesn't go flying past, you know, the one you expect it to land on. And it's not easy, you know. So I didn't find it. I thought it was too hard. The right way to do it is this narrow, as opposed to like this on an iPhone or something like that, or an iPod. You know, you got this little range where you can do it right, or you can just have icons flying this way or not quite coming up to where you want it. So I just thought the UI, it's like, you know, you need to use the UI. I mean, you interface with this UI. This UI has to be good. And until they get that fixed, I won't buy one. But I bet they do get it fixed because there was quite a few posts.
Yeah, and it's a buying machine, right? I mean, this thing is designed to really drive people back to the Amazon store for the most part. I mean, the web browser works. Yep. I would not exchange it for my phone. I would not, my phone can do everything. I don't know this for sure, but just on,
it can't do everything.
Okay. But I can do everything I want to do. I could do on my phone that I wouldn't necessarily need a 7-inch screen to do. I don't read books that way. And so I probably would not use that to read.
What size is the regular Kindle? My wife has, you know, the regular Kindle with the e-ink.
Yeah. Same size, isn't it?
It's,
I don't know. It looked like it, because I looked at a bunch of them sitting inside. I don't know. But I'm just going to say that it looked like it was a little bit bigger than the biggest one. But, I mean, no, they actually got a huge one, don't they?
The DX. They got the
It's not as big as that.
Yeah, she doesn't
just
have
the
that.
Regular ones. It's big. It looks like, to me, it's bigger than the regulars. So.
Okay.
I like the e-ink for reading.
Yeah, I think for reading, that is the thing to do. And I got my son, they have new versions of the Kindle now, not just the DX and then the Kindle. They have the Kindle Touch and some other things. I got him one of the Touch.
How's he like it? Oh, well, he hasn't opened it yet.
Yeah, see, I ordered it 2 days ago. Ordered it 2 days ago, and because I'm a Prime member, it arrived today.
You got to rub that in, don't you?
just every chance I get.
Well, what'll be? I'm sure you'll pick that Touch up. I know the Touch has had some bad reviews too, so it'll be interesting to get his opinion of it, Mike, after he's had it for a while.
He's a 12-year-old boy. He probably won't complain about it.
Probably not. He has. Yeah, it doesn't have quite the expectations that we have.
He uses his phone. And I have the old one, the Samsung Galaxy, the first one with a 4-inch screen. He watches YouTube videos on that all the time.
And Yeah. They don't, quality doesn't matter to them for the most part. You know, they're just used to media, however it can be consumed. And if the quality's okay, it's fine for the most part.
Right.
They don't know hi-fi. But, you know, it'll move that direction again, I'm sure, right? Music didn't start that way. And you know, the industry worked its way from the 50s, 60s, and 70s to get the best quality ever, right? And then by the time that medium got into the hi-fi world where it was nearly identical reproduction to live, digital came out and ruined it all again. And we went backwards and now we don't care. It's on little devices that can go anywhere and it'll come back again. It'll swing back into a world of perfection. And Rich, I know you're smiling because, you know, I know you probably like very good quality music when you listen to it.
Yeah.
You own a hi-fi stereo in your day, right?
No. No, actually, Jim, I don't really, I've never had,
eight-track.
It's funny, being a musician, you think, yeah, I would be an audiophile, but I'm not, man. Oh, okay. I mean, I've owned some of the lamest little boom boxes and whatnot, and I've never ever seemed to plunk down the right, you know, decent amount of cash to get a good sound. And, you know, it's kind of regrettable, I guess. Hey, before
you're
gonna
have to move, you're gonna have to move off the 8-track. That's what you're gonna have to do, Rich.
Oh, is that it?
That's the problem.
That is like the wicked sound.
I like that ka-chunk when it's
you like the ka-chunk when it ka-chunks right in the middle of a song.
I like that because you know why? You get to hear the part that it, you know, like 10 seconds before it ka-chunked again because they figured that out. That's what you want to do.
What is something is that I did like that ka-chunk for whatever reason.
Rich, you liked it. You liked it when it worked in your car, right? Yeah, I was gonna say
I didn't have one in my car. I did not have one in my car.
Well, Mike, you're not old enough to have enjoyed this, in the real time, the real era of 8-track sweet stuff. You got a new computer, don't you? Actually, you don't have a new computer. You have an old computer put together from like these dusty old parts you've had laying around for a while, right?
Me?
Yeah.
No, that the one I'm using now is a quad core with DDR2 RAM, 8 gig of DDR2 RAM. So I guess that's
the stuff that's just hanging around forever, right?
No. That stuff has been I've been using it for a while. You're talking about the new stuff I bought.
Oh, you don't have that built yet?
No, I do not.
Oh my God! I thought that's what this note was. I finally put this computer together that I've owned in parts for like 2 months now.
Here's what it is. You can't see it because it's off camera, but it's right over here. I have a table over here and the box.
Get it over so we can see what this stuff is.
I can't move it over. It's actually running right now. I can move my webcam.
No, I'm talking about your parts that you haven't put together yet.
Yeah, look at that. He's That's running that off the top of his box, by the way.
What?
Is that thing actually running?
Yes, it's running.
On the box.
Yes. Yes.
That's beautiful.
What? You got that actually sitting on a box and it's powered up?
It's the box it came in, so it should be fine, right?
Hey, oh, yeah.
Friendly.
What am I thinking?
That's awesome.
Of course.
That is awesome.
Jeez. I don't know. My apologies.
Why would you even need a case, Rich? I mean, if you could just run it right off the motherboard.
And then you don't need a fan either, right?
That's right.
It's a
computer table. Just lay it out.
What you don't know is I got the fan. I have an AC unit over here next to me, one of those portable ones. So it is normally off right now because of the podcast, but normally it's running and blows right over the top of that. And there's Mike, an SS.
That's not a good permanent solution, Mike.
It's not a permanent solution. There's an SSD attached to that that's just kind of hanging there. It literally is hanging.
That's okay because they don't weigh much, and I've had SSDs hanging right down in front of me before.
Then there's two Caviar Blacks that are in a RAID 0 that are sitting on the table. I think they're actually sitting on our static bags. Sitting on our static bags on the table.
Now, that's a good call. Yeah.
They're just sitting there sideways. If you bump the table, they could fall over. And
you bump the table. I like that. If you bump the table, it's all over.
So
it's
going to
fall down like dominoes.
But here,
you have like hard access to get in this room because I hope nobody's just wandering in and out of this room during the day.
Well, no, nobody. Hey, you know what I tell the kids whenever they have kids come over? I say, let's assume there's a fire in this house and there's only one exit and it's through my office out my window.
You have to burn.
Say, I'm sorry you didn't make it.
I'm sorry.
To make this simpler, there's no scenario that happens that you're allowed into this room.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
great setup.
It's sitting there. I actually have water cooler for it too, which is it's not being used right now. But it's a nice 6-core AMD thing with two, like I mentioned, two Caviar Blacks, a nice fast SSD, 16 gig of you know, DDR3, nice fast RAM, USB 3.0. It's a nice system. What I like to do when I build a new system is get new hard drives. So my old one still exists while my new one is being built. And until once I get the new one built with all the programs running and I know I've got everything good, I will then go to my old one, uninstall all the crap I don't need. Then I will create a the disk to DVD, disk to VHD or whatever it is called. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Convert your system to a virtual machine. Yeah. Convert that to a virtual machine. Move that off to my Hyper-V server, and then shut this one down and put those guts in this box. So that's not the permanent solution. That's just
yeah.
Hey, promise me you're going to run Prime 95 while that thing is still sitting on that cardboard box, and I want to see what that box looks like. I want to see if it's all charred and everything.
No, I'm not going to promise you that.
It's a great way to do it, though, when you're first building a PC, so you're not in and out of the box.
The network cable is like a 50-foot long cable that's just plugged in, flopped onto the ground, goes out to the hallway.
This
is the basement. Goes out in the hallway, down to the room where I have all my network stuff, through the floor, up, you know, just laying on the floor, and then up to the switch.
Nice. Nice. So your Unraid box isn't in that office. It's in another. It's in a closet somewhere.
Yeah. It's we have a closet that has the hot the furnace.
Right.
And it sits in a rack that I have, you know, like something from home.
So what's quieter, the furnace or the Unraid box?
The furnace.
I believe it.
The Unraid box is a Norfolk 20 case, and that thing is crazy loud.
It's a beast.
Yeah, that's a beast. And what size are they? Are they like 80s?
They may be 80s, and they run pretty loud. And I think there's maybe four to six of them. I can't remember. But they run pretty loud. And I think I have 11 drives in it right now. It can hold 20. But part of the reason I need to speed this build up is because I'm running out of space in Unraid. And I got two terabyte drives in the current computer I have that I need to get all the data off of them, get done with them, and move them over into Unraid.
Reclaim them.
Reclaim them.
And then what are you going to do with the motherboard and the other parts to the old one?
My oldest son is going to get the RAM because he only has 4 gig of DDR2 right now. So I'll give him that. The CPU is going to go to the other son because this is a faster CPU for him. Then I will take that one son's 4 gig of RAM and the other son's CPU and stick it in this box and then decide what I want to do with that.
I just got a text from Christian. He's 17. His dad 17. Was wrong. Gary.
Okay. Thank goodness, because I thought he was sandbagging it with his age.
You know, Gary told me on the show 2 weeks ago that he would be 18. I said, are you sure? Gary, I think he's going to be 17. Now, I don't know if I got this recorded or not. I'm sure it's in its raw form somewhere. But I said, Gary, are you sure? I'm pretty sure Christian's going to be 17. And and Gary's like, no. He started doing the math. He was born in, you know, whatever that is, like 1992. And, you know, and it was like, I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure he's just 17. So, Gary, you're wrong. And have it here from Christian himself. He is 17 as he sent me that email. I hope you're having a good time, Christian. And of course, what's amazing to me, and we've had a Christian love fests before, but it's amazing to me that he's 17 and this kid knows more than, or he's forgotten more than most of us know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So Christian, I hope you're having a great birthday and we missed you on the show tonight, but we know you'll be back for other stuff. All right, real quick, Mike, we're going to run out of time, but what's the hot thing in photography right now? What's the hot topic that you guys are talking about over at JPEG Raw?
Well, I think I already mentioned the thing about Photoshop, where if you're not a current CS5 user, you're going to be pretty much out of luck to get CS6 without paying full price. That's still the case. They haven't changed it yet. But the other news is somewhat unfortunate. It's Olympus. If you're a fan of Olympus, which, you know, one of my early point and shoots and my first semi SLR was Olympus, and they've been having some real problems with their accounting.
This news was first broken by one Rich O'Neill the other day. Rich, I think you brought that up to me, right? That they're having some problems. And so, Mike, it sounds like their offices got raided.
They did. You know, I think they've been hiding for years, like over $1 billion in losses that they've been hiding. And their offices, not just the office of Olympus, but the homes of some of the executives involved.
Oh, that's horrible.
It is. You know, to me, if you're a new camera buyer, Olympus wasn't one of the ones I would necessarily look at. But, you know, hey, they had a niche product. They had some good, at least point-and-shoots. They made some decent products. Typically, it was overpriced. And I think they just couldn't compete. And, you know, who knows why this happened? Because, you know, I have a strict policy of do whatever it takes to stay out of prison.
Yeah, you being an accountant, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so if it's going to put me in prison, we're not doing it.
If I'm asked to do something that's going to put me in prison, I quit. So I don't, you know, I don't know what happens here. You know, I guess some people get caught up in a moment and, you know, maybe it affects their bonuses or something like that, or they're worried about losing their job and they go along with it and it grows out of control. And that's what looks like has happened here, is that they have a lot of accounting irregularities and it's grown out of control.
$1 billion over the last 10 years or so. I mean, man, that's, you're ripping off your stockholders when you.
And it you know, it's going to go. This is not over because, yeah. Hey, you know, I am my name is Geek Accountant, so this is the accounting side of me. I imagine they were audited by an auditing firm. Now I think they're Japanese based, so I don't know what the rules are over there, and you know what firm they might have done. But I know over here, if you're hiding that kind of loss and you're a big company, you're being audited by one of the big audit firms. There's going to be hell to pay by one of those audit firms. You're going to be sued by investors. You're going to be, you know, your name is now damaged. If you remember Anderson, remember Arthur Anderson is right, one of the big eight accounting firms. Right. Now you talk about stuff that can change overnight. I mean, this, you went from Anderson having no financial problems whatsoever. It was a decently run company, tons of clients. That's one day. Enron happens, right. And within a couple of months, they are out of business.
Right.
I don't think you've ever seen a company go out of business that fast.
Who didn't do the crime,
yeah. And who didn't have financial problems before that. I mean, right. They went from, you know, doing good. I knew some of the partners at that place, and the thing for them was they had to become a partner. He had to buy into it, and they had this loan with the firm where they bought into it. Now they were in a situation where they still owed the loan. They still had to pay the loan, but their investment that they were going to get back as a partner was worth nothing.
Yeah.
So it was pretty bad. But, you know, that's the thing is, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch this happen, how it's going to affect Olympus long term, and whether they're going to still be a competitor here or whether they'll end up getting bought up by somebody else.
Yeah, I bet they'll go out of business and the pieces and parts will be sold off for repayment of whatever damages have been done. And that'll be the end of Olympus.
Yeah,
as we know it. You know,
yeah, I think so.
Somebody may buy the brand. This sometimes happens too. So after the pizza parts are sold off, somebody picks up the brand for a dime, so to speak, and then makes a run at a new company with new people in a new place and using the Olympus brand, of course, which has good, it won't after this week, it has pretty good brand recognition and in the photography world. And you know, you never know. They make a run at it. Make a run at it again.
I think they just could not keep up with the Canons and Nikons. And
those are the two big giants, right? Canon, Nikon?
Yeah. And Sony's coming on strong. You know, one of the things that maybe some people don't know is Sony makes a lot of the sensors for Nikon. So, you know, it's not too much of a stretch for them to go ahead and develop their own stuff. And they have been doing that. They're doing pretty good with some of their equipment. So it makes it even harder on somebody like Olympus.
Right.
To compete.
Yeah. Seems like there's been a resurgence. Maybe I said this before, but it seems like there's been a resurgence in photography. And, you know, it just seems like lately, and maybe that's because I know you, Mike. I don't know. But it seems like photography has made a resurgence in the communities. A lot of people are doing photography again.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think so, in that it's become easier. I think that, you know, things like the iPhone and the camera phones in general have brought that up. But, you know, that may be something where you get the camera phone, you get excited about photography again. But really, you know, as much as the Apple people want to believe their iPhone is as good as anything else, it's not. But people get excited with that. It takes pretty good pictures. But you want to step up to the next level and you go get SLRs, and SLRs are getting better in price. and you're seeing a lot more people with SLRs and getting into it. And that's part of the reason why we started JPEG to RAW, is because there's so many people getting into it who don't know, who need a lot of help because they don't know the basics.
Or the technology behind it, right? There's a lot of technology now that goes behind being a photographer.
And, my attitude has somewhat changed, too. It used to be when my sons just started off in soccer and have somebody walk by and say, oh, look at that big camera. And it wasn't necessarily a big camera. It was a big lens, But, okay, and then they say, I bet that thing takes great pictures. And I go, yep, I'm glad it brought me here. I'm just here to hold it up. I don't do anything with it. I guess if as a photographer, you don't want somebody to say, I bet your camera takes good pictures. Yeah, I bet Michelangelo's paintbrush drew really well. He was just there to hold them. But I didn't want to be bothered by the people who didn't know anything. Now my son's in swimming, and I have a person who's taking photos every week, and I look forward to every week going out there and, all right, who's going to be taking photos with me, and I try and help them out, and it's a lot of fun.
Very
trying
cool.
to help the other person.
Hey, I want to ask you, do you use a stand when you're out there? Like a mono stand? Do you use one of those?
A monopod. You're talking about a monopod? When I shot I shot soccer and had a big, 300-millimeter lens, I did use a monopod because those were too heavy to hold up.
Start shaking after a while, right? I mean, it's so heavy.
That lens is heavy. It used to be back here in the background, so you saw how big it was. When I'm shooting swimming, I do not. It's just I'm moving around too much. Right. I'm using a little bit smaller lens. I'm using a 70 to 200 millimeter lens, so it's not quite as long, and I can hand hold that.
Okay. Yeah, I just asked because first time I ever saw one, my sister was shooting a football game. Her son was playing tight end, and I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea because that camera looks like it weighs a ton, And she's just standing there taking shot after shot,
If you're going to be something like that soccer, football, where you're going to be in a fairly, a few areas, you're not going to be moving a lot, and you do have a big lens, a monopod is a great alternative. It's fairly cheap. You can get one for about $45 or so. easy to use. I mean, it's one pole.
Yeah.
It's really, very mobile.
Yeah. It keeps you steady.
Yeah,
cool.
Vinyl or – let's see. Other Jim had said in chat that the advent of the camera phone has probably had a bigger effect on point and shoot than it's had on anything else, right? I mean, it certainly. I would never buy a point and shoot again because my phone can do almost as good as the old point and shoots could do, and then if I want real pictures, I'm going to find somebody with a real camera.
I think that's definitely the case. I think it's done. The phone has done two things. It's killing impacting the point and shoot market and the video recorders. What's that little flip?
Little flip cams or handy cams.
It's impacting those.
Flip. Those things that came out, the flip videos, cameras.
Yeah, I think just last
Christmas. They were like all hot, and then all of a sudden they just like, goodbye.
Flip HD. And then the phone market kind of took that over.
Just last Christmas, I was thinking about getting one for the kids, and I said, I'll wait till next Christmas. And now look,
no sense
in getting one of those.
No, you could get an iPhone now that does everything that did. And I think the 3Gs or the 3, is it 3S? Those are free now if with a service plan. Yeah, you can get an iPhone 3, which is still a pretty good phone for free. So for kids, those might be a pretty good option, if you're looking to get that kind of deal. And there's riches there. Mike, maybe a couple JPEG to RAW listeners will make their way over to the Home Tech Podcast, and we'd like to be your technology podcast of choice. And so we're on here. Absolutely. We're on here each Thursday night, just like you listen to JPEG to RAW live every Tuesday nights at 7. Is that right? 7 Central, 8 Eastern. Is that same time?
8 Eastern, yes.
Yeah, so same time on Tuesday nights. We do this podcast each and every Thursday night. Same time, different channel. Come over to theaverageguy.tv/live. And Mike is a guest here. Oh, you're scheduled every 6 weeks, but Mike, it seems like you show up about every 3. And it's always good to have you on here and let you talk your tech stuff.
I love coming on.
That's good to have you. And Rich, of course, Rich does Rich's Random Podcast Generator on the weekends with me and other guys. And we kind of open the floodgates for technology chat over the weekends, and or we do some interview stuff
we
as well.
We do want to open it up. So, like, if any of you guys in the chat, you're around on a Sunday, and no, we're not going to do one this weekend or probably next weekend because of the holiday. But if you guys are around and you are looking at that and you see the notice go up, jump on in. You know, we'd love to have you. Seriously.
Yeah, we do that on the weekends. Of course, the best way to know when we're doing those is follow me on Twitter at Jay Collison, or follow the. Although we need to do, I do need to do a better job of getting some of our announcements out to the Facebook. Listen to me, I called it the Facebook. For folks to follow that stuff and know what's going on. So, Mike and Rich, thanks. Oh, you need one more thing, Mike?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you post it on your, you have a page and a group.
I do have a page and a group, and I haven't done the group or what, one of them I have done nothing with since I opened it. The other I post just the podcast. I just announced the podcasts have gone live on the site for folks to pick up. I could do a better job. At one point I was using, events, right? I was scheduling events and putting them out there, and you know, there's just a gazillion things you could be doing.
I was just going to say, if anybody who has not liked your page or joined the group, you know, you should go out and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you haven't checked out theaverageguy.tv in a while, pop out there as well. We do we do have just one ad out there, so we don't kill you with the ads. But like Mike, you said in your podcast the other day, click on that one time. That helps pay the bandwidth bills. Cost a little bit of dollars to do these kinds of podcasts, and while we use a lot of free equipment, the bandwidth is not. And so that always, if you click on the ad, you don't have to buy anything. Just click on the ad, and oftentimes they'll take you to a different site. It might even be interesting. Go out and take a peek at it. Saw one for some cloud storage today out on my site, and took a peek at it, and they had a pretty nice cloud storage offering for folks who host or want to do some website hosting. So some pretty good stuff. Mike, Rich, thanks for coming out tonight. I want to thank Andrew for coming in via Skype and the phone all the way from Melbourne. And they couldn't stay with us long, but he is off for Christmas holiday. We hope everybody has a great Christmas holiday. Christian, it's a bummer that your birthday is so close to Christmas. I'm sure you get screwed each and every holiday because you're just 3 days away from Christmas. But Christian, I hope you had a good night. And of course, we'll be back next Thursday to do it all over again. We wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I'll push to get this one done, out and done into the stream before, maybe even before Saturday yet, so folks can download it and listen to it. And we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. That's it for the Home Tech Podcast. We'll be back next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, for another Home Tech Podcast. Good night.
Something that we didn't mention, I wish we had because it would have worked with when you mentioned Facebook and Amazon, is did you guys ever send a gift card to anybody, a certificate, like for a present or whatever, like from like an Amazon gift certificate?
I haven't sent one, but I've gotten them before.
Yeah, I've gotten them too. Well, that led me to thinking I've got to get this guy something, you know, and I didn't really know what to get him. So what I did is I went to Amazon. And
is this guy
they
me?
Let you, huh?
Is this
yeah,
guy
it's
me?
You, Mike. You're ruining it. You're ruining it. And it's my daughter's ex-boyfriend, so the father of my granddaughter. So you know, I like the guy. I wanted to get him something, so I sent him a gift certificate from Amazon, and I could either send it to his email or I could send it to his Facebook. Like, you know, cool. Send it up. Yeah. So, and you, when you send it to the Facebook, you can like tell the whole world what a great guy you are by sending this gift certificate, or you can just do it in private. You know, you like make this private. So I made it private and sent it off to him. Actually, I didn't send it off to him. I scheduled it. That's the other thing that's really cool. So you can have a birthday next week. Somebody can have a birthday next week, and you're sitting here today and I want to get this done. I want to stop thinking about it. Send it to him on his birthday. How about
Very
that?
Very good. What was I didn't notice it when you did it live, Jim. I just noticed it in the chat window. You held up an A, the Amazon A.
Amazon.
What was that all about?
He's going to join Amazon Prime.
It's a gift card. It's an Amazon gift card.
Oh, it's the Amazon gift card.
We're talking about, I just happen to have one on my desk, and somebody gave me a gift card to Amazon. And
nice.